So let's just bow our heads for a quick word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for everything that you do for us, your watch care over us. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to be with us. May your Holy Spirit draw especially close to us now as we open your word. Lord, I ask that you will speak through me, this weak vessel. Take everything that I say, and Father, remove that, and may you speak through to the congregation today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So a good question to start this our message today is, have you ever been away from home for a while and you begin to feel homesick? Now, some people have a smile on their face and some people nodding their head in acknowledgement because, yes, indeed, we may be away from home for a while, and after a while, we're going to feel homesick. And that is no truer words than in Newfoundland, amen? You know, you get people who move away for work or whatever the case may be, but inevitably, they long for home. And I think it has to do with our culture, our family, our bond on this island, which is a very good thing. Now, however, Jesus wants us to think about home, and he wants us to have heaven on our minds. For the most part, we believe that it exists, books, movies, songs, poems, art, and other mediums that have been used to communicate that to us, that heaven actually exists. We often hear of heaven as a reward to avoid the punishment of hell to the impenitent. Is that the reason why we want to go to heaven? I'll give you a little statistic here now. Polls say that 78% of North Americans, I use the term North Americans, it's including Canada and the United States, that they are going to heaven. 78% believe they're going to heaven, even though they don't attend church, they don't generally pray, or they don't generally read their Bibles. The more staggering number is that only 34% of those who claim to be Christian attend church. Let's just say that we are talking about the whole population of North America. So what's the population of North America? It's 366 million people. So 366 million people in Canada, United States. 34% of that 366 million is 124,400,000. And of these 124,400, most believe heaven is their home. Now, I know that when I have been away from home for a while, for me personally, when I've been away from home, I do get homesick. I remember when I was working on the rigs and gone for sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes 2 months. And at the end of the shift, you got to feel homesick. You wanted to be home. You wanted to be with your family. I started yearning for home. I started thinking about my family. I started thinking about my bed, the bed that I usually sleep in. I started thinking about my refrigerator where I can go to and open up. I started thinking about my wonderful yard where I could sit down and enjoy the sunshine. I started thinking about my pets, my comfy chair. Does everyone here have a comfy chair? Most guys do. I don't know about the women, but I know guys generally have a comfy chair they like. They say, yeah, definitely. And I also missed my messy desk. So, and anyone look at my desk, like I said, I don't know how that guy does anything at that desk. And I see pictures of my home in my mind when I'm away. I see, you know, pictures of, you know, family, you know, my daughters, my sons, my, you know, whatever's in your home, that's what you think of, right? And the more I long to be there. So what do? I begin to do what is necessary for me to get home. I want to get home. Jesus wants us to think about home. And he wants us to have heaven on our minds. So I'm going to read a number of verses, and I just encourage you to either write them down. I might not have time to actually look them all up because I'll be going through them fairly quickly for the sake of time. But if you can flip through the Bible quickly, great. But if not, just write them down. The first one is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We need to talk about heaven this morning. And I want to go home, don't you? I know I want to go home. So our sermon title today is Longing for Home. And, you know, when you live in this dark world we live in, it's good to long for home. John the Revelator, here we in our Bible text this morning, is once again taken off in vision. After hours or days or weeks or months, I'm not sure, of seeing visions of devastation, visions of turmoil, visions of persecution, visions of upheaval and disappointment, Jesus shows him a picture. The millennium has just passed before his face, the 1,000 years, and John is given insight as to who has made it and to those who did not make it to heaven. Let's review our scripture reading this morning in Revelation chapter 21. Now, Erica read quite clearly Revelation 21 verses 1 to 7. I'm going to add one more verse to it, but I am going to go over it again. Okay, so let's just start with verse 1. Revelation 21 verse 1. And John is writing down this vision he is given to by Jesus. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For what? What does it say? For the former things are passed away. And everyone should say amen to that. The former things are passed away. Verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. That's key. That's a key verse there. I make all things brand spanking new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. In other words, it's finished. Whatever I have foretold to you, it's complete now. It's complete. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water life freely. He's willing to give it. Are we willing to accept it? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Like all things. You could speak sermon upon sermon upon sermon on just those two words. All things. We inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now here's a text I left out of the scripture reading for a reason. Verse 8. Now we get to the other side of that equation. Verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A lot of times we don't want to include these verses because, you know, we want to proclaim the love of God. We want to proclaim the peace of God and all that. But yet the Bible's clear. Not everyone is going to make it to heaven. I'm not saying anyone here is not going to make it to heaven. I'm not saying I'm not going to make it to heaven. I just don't know. Who do we know is going to make it to heaven? That's between God and the person, right? It's not for us to judge. But we have all heard the saying, may it ever be so humble, there is no place like home. Ever heard that phrase? Be it ever so humble, there is no place like home. You could have a mansion, you could have a shack, but yet it's still your home. It's still your home. Well, I would like to share 3 points with you this morning about the topic today, heaven. First, heaven will be new for us. Heaven will be new. Second, we will answer the question of how can a place that we've never been to be called home? And finally, is everybody going to be there? Well, what a picture John paints here. John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we can all relate to new, amen? There is nothing like something that is new. Now, let's just talk about, you know, finite things, material things. You know, you buy a new car, What does it smell like? Brand spanking new, right? It's got that new odor, that new smell. And you can't even define that, can you? It's a new smell. New shoes, new car, new money, new home, new carpet, new paint, new books. New is just different. New is new. This new in the Greek is called kahinas. Kahinas. It means recently made, fresh, recent, used, unworn. It's amazing that when new is with new, it tends to stay new. I'll say that again. When new is with new, it tends to stay new. I don't know about you, but some people just have a gift for maintaining things. I knew a person like this. I'm not that person. Their house always looks new. The paint hasn't been chipped away in 15 years. And they've been living in it. And the carpet looks the same as when it was first installed. Their car is 5 years old and it still has that new car scent in it. Their jeans are 5 years old and they still are able to maintain a crease. I look at it and it's that way because they are meticulous in maintaining newness, right? They dedicate time to ensure that it stays new. But I'm stopping by to tell you that Jesus, as verse 5 says, made all things new. What did he make new? There will be no need for maintaining anything because new will keep new. It will stay new because of Jesus. Amen? So before we go home, we do have to be made new inside and out. There's no question there. Let me give you a little a thought. Put it in perspective. Would you wear dirty, rotten socks and a brand new pair of shoes? Would you? Probably not. I would hope not. And don't raise your hands if you do. It's a common sense thing, though. If God wants heaven to continue to smell new, look new, feel new, he has to put some new folk in it. Folk that are going to remain new. Right? Luke chapter 5, verse 38 says, and we know this text fairly well, but new wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved. So what happens if you put a new wine into an old wineskin? Bursts, right? It can't stay there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, new is new. New is not old. New is not corrupted. And again, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. But now ye also put off all these. Now, this is what we're putting off to become new. I'm not saying this. God is saying it. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, the new woman, the new child, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're created new by Jesus. We're maintained new by Jesus. Last time I had a message, the title was, "It's All About Jesus." Well, guess what? This is All About Jesus Part 2. It's the same thing. It's always about Jesus. It really is. So let me go back to Colossians again. Stay there for a second. So now put off all these things. Put off anger, wrath, malice. Now, when I'm saying these words, what comes to mind? Just think about it. What comes to mind when I say these words? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. What's blasphemy? Speaking against Jesus, speaking against God. It's not just swearing, but blasphemy, claiming to be God, right? Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lying. So, where do you see all that? In the world today. It's a picture of our world, isn't it? I'm not saying everyone's like that, but generally speaking, that is the way our world is. There's a lot of deceit out there. There's a lot of anger. If there was no anger, there'd be no wars. A lot of wrath. People getting angry and getting retribution on for being treated wrong. Malice, evil intent. That's enough said. That is the definition of the old man. That's the definition of the old man. So are we saying we are new but still living in old socks? Will God allow old socks in heaven? I had a message years ago, and the title was Hypocrite Heaven. And I asked the question, will there be any hypocrites in heaven? Well, when I asked that question, and I went through the message, and later two individuals came to me, and they said, I didn't like the title of your sermon, brother. And I said, what, the Hypocrite Heaven? He said, yeah, I didn't like that title. He said, there won't be any hypocrites in heaven. I said, oh, I didn't say there's going to be any hypocrites in heaven. What I am saying, though, that at one time, every person that was in heaven will have been a hypocrite at some point in their life. And they were changed by the love of Jesus. Right? Because we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners. We're born into sin. Just because when we're born into sin, we're automatically hypocrites. That's just the way it is, right? So, the old man is cast off. What is the definition of new? Now, I mentioned new cars, you know, new whatever. But what is the definition of new? And you know what the wonderful thing is? The definition of new is, it's a sinner saved by grace. That's new. It's a sinner saved by grace. I was watching on to YouTube, and one of the Gaither groups was on singing, and there's a song, I think, A Sinner Saved by Grace. Powerful song, very powerful song, because we are. That's the only way we're saved, is by His grace. What's the definition of an old sock? It's a sinner. Right? It's a sinner. An old sock is a sinner. A new man is a sinner saved by grace. So the new will live with Jesus in the earth made new, and old socks will not. Because there's not going to be any old socks in heaven. There can't be. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some Bible texts will say many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, don't expect to get to into the new heaven and the new earth if you remain an old sock. Strong words, but it's true, right? The Bible not only says that the inside of me is new, but the outsides will be made new as well. Not just the inside and not the outside, or vice versa. It's both. Inside and outside will be made new. It not only says that God will fix us on the inside, but He will have to change the outside too, or we won't be able to make it home. But the wonderful answer to all that is that we can't change ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. It's not possible. We can try and try and try, but we will always fail miserably. It's only Jesus who can do that. Philippians 3:20-21. Now, this is an interesting one, too. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change doesn't just say our body, it'll change our vile body. Now the Bible's clear. Our bodies without Jesus are vile. That it may be fashioned unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. It's all about Jesus. Part 2. It's all about Jesus. In other words, Jesus is willing to change us. That's why He came to this earth. He is willing to change us. This is the first picture of glory that we should relish in. It will be new. That should appeal to us even now, even as I speak. I don't know anybody who couldn't use a new home. There's no one on the face of this planet that doesn't need a new home. A new home in heaven. Now, whether they choose it, it's another thing. Well, Brother Steve, it is hard for me to have a longing for heaven when I haven't ever been there. How can I call heaven my home? Well, the answer to that question is simple. If you have Christ, you're in heaven. Let me pause there for a second. If you have Christ in your heart, you have heaven already. Do you believe it? You may not be in heaven, but you have heaven. If you have Christ, you have heaven. Notice the illustration of the vision of the Revelator again. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We have this illustration of a real city. Is it a real city? Absolutely. The New Jerusalem will come down after the 1,000 years. But we have to remember that we will already be in heaven before heaven comes down. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We won't be in heaven, the physical heaven of New Jerusalem. But when we have Jesus in our hearts, we already have heaven. Amen? Isn't that true? Isaiah 51:16 says this, And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I might plant the heavens. So you want a Bible verse to back me up? This is it. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people. God is saying, You are my people. You are my people. And because you are my people, I'm giving you heaven. It's free to you. Just continue to choose it. Zion or Jerusalem is the people of God. We talked about church buildings a little bit this morning, right? You know, we come into this, we are blessed beyond measure to be able to come into this building, honestly. I can't say it enough. I say it over and over again, and I mean it every time I say it. We are so blessed to be able to come in here. And the people that are watching. But there will come a time when we won't be able to come in here. But we will still have heaven. Because we have Jesus. Right? Luke 17, 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, this is another text that backs up what I'm saying here. You have heaven already. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It's within you. How do we have the kingdom of God within us? It's all about Jesus. Part two. It's all about Jesus. Could it be that all this time we've been trying to get into heaven and didn't know that heaven is already in us? I had to write that down because I was reflecting on myself as I usually do when I'm preparing something. Listen, anyone in their right mind would really want to go to heaven, right? You think so? It's a glorious place. But we can't work our way there. We just can't. We can't make ourselves new. We can't change an old sock into a new sock. We can't do anything. The only thing we can do is choose. Amen? Choose. Choose today whom you will serve. Here's a quote by Ellen White that expands upon all this. When Adam came from the Creator's hand, so when Adam first came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature a likeness to his Maker. Face to face, heart-to-heart communion with his Maker was his high privilege. So Adam walked, talked with God in person. Had he remained loyal to God, all this would have been his forever. Throughout eternal ages, he would have continued to gain new treasures of knowledge, to discover fresh springs of happiness, and to obtain clearer and yet clearer conceptions of the wisdom, the power, and the love of God. And I'm going to add this in my own words, that transcends all understanding. More and more fully would he have fulfilled the object of his creation. More and more fully he would have reflected the Creator's glory. But you know, when God changes an old sock into a new sock, it's a new sock. It's brand spanking new. It's brand spanking new. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The tabernacle of God is God with us. Exodus 25:8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. But what does John 1:14 say? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus walked and talked with us. He supped with us. New Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband is a text that captures the new reality of our home. The church is his bride. And all those who have joined themselves to Christ will be a part of that great wedding procession. Who here likes to attend a wedding here and there? Something about weddings. It's the same. It's almost the same. It's something about a wedding. It's same. Almost the same thing as something as the same as a baby dedication, or a baptism. A baptism. It's just something about it. It's something new. Something new. It just revitalizes your soul. You could be a member here for a long time. You could be here a member here for a short time. You could be a friend, visiting friend. If there's something about it that touches your heart. And I think this is probably a good opportunity. I'll share this new revelation to some of you. That Pastor Fred knows this already. And I think some people and the kids might know. But Erica has made a decision to be baptized. Sometime in January, I'm thinking. And when she came to me and she said she wanted to be baptized, I asked her. I said, well, why do you want to become baptized? And she said, well, you know something, Dad? I just feel God's asking me to make that decision. So am I going to turn around and say to Erica, no, girl, you can't get baptized. Would that be right? No. Not at this point, for sure. So I'm thankful that she did make that decision. Amen? But I bring it up only because that's what God calls new. You know, a new direction, a new heart, a new life. Is everything going to be perfect? No. Are there going to be struggles? Yes. Are there going to be stumbles along the way? Yes. Right? I think every member here, I'm not going to ask you this because it'll take too much time. But if every member, I could ask every member here to stand up, those who have been baptized, and each individually share something about their walk with God, where they stumbled and fell along the way, we'd be here for quite a while. You look around you. Do you see perfection? I know I don't see perfection here. I definitely don't. It's not about that. It's about your heart choosing Jesus. That's really what it's all about. And finally, we have the privilege of making heaven our home right now, because there will come a time when everybody will not be welcomed. That sounds like a conflict in terms, but it's not. There is a time coming when probation has closed. We don't talk about it a lot because it's sort of brings us down, right? It brings us down. But the Bible is clear. There is a time coming when probation will close, and everyone who has decided for Jesus will have decided, and everyone who has decided against Jesus, it'll be final. It's very clear. I can't go into all of it right now, but But if anyone has questions about it, I'm definitely free to talk about it or share the word with you. The big thing, though, is that the invitation is open right now. It's open just now to make that decision. Revelation 22:17, wonderful Bible text. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him or her that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And 2 Peter 3:9, and we know this very well. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes everyone that has ever been born, everyone that will be born, and everyone that will be born in the future until that time probation closes. Everyone is given an opportunity to choose. To choose Jesus. You know, I don't know what else to say. What else can I say? It is what it is. I'll just say it again. New is new. Old is old. Old will not go into heaven. New will. We talked a little bit this morning, then I'll close. I talked a little bit about this morning about perfection. Remember? Talking about perfection. And, you know, we struggle with that a little bit, and people say, well, there's not going to be any perfection until we get to heaven. That's not true. That's just not true. And I'll explain it and how I understand that. Jesus, you choose Jesus. You accept him into your life. Jesus covers you with his robe of righteousness. Jesus is living in you. You have just inherited the kingdom of God because Jesus is living in you. Because Jesus is covering you with his robe of righteousness, perfection resides. Will you stumble and fall? Yes. Then you need to ask for Jesus again to come into your life again. But when we're covered with Jesus, his robe of righteousness, let me ask this question. Can sin exist in God's righteousness? Can't. If you're covered in Christ's robe of righteousness, sin can't exist. It's when you choose to go away from it, that's when it starts to exist. It's very simple, isn't it? So Jesus said it is done. So in closing, it is done. Accept Jesus into your heart. It's done. It's all about Jesus, part two. And you know, I may get up here from time to time and might say this is all about Jesus, part 10, part 12, part 20, part 100. I don't know. Because it is all about Jesus. It really is. Heed the call. That's my closing thought. Heed the call. Heed the call in your life. Come to Jesus while you still have time. I often went to seminars before and Bible prophecy seminars, and there's always a call, you know, and that's a good thing. There's always a call to come forward, to, you know, confess, not your sins, but to confess to Jesus that you want to follow him. Confess your sins to Jesus directly, not to any man, of course. But you often hear, come forward, there's still time. Time's running out. I always thought that was sort of a guilt trip, right? Sort of, you know, pushing people to come forward, right? And it can be. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. But the reality is, Jesus loves you. He loves you. No matter what you've done, what you think, no matter where you are, he loves you. He loves all the children here. He loves all the elderly here, including myself in that equation. He loves everyone in between. He loves all of you. But he wants you to make that decision for him just now. Here's a question, a statement I saw somewhere. It says, how long will you love leasing a temporary home? Jesus' home is free. But yet we want to lease a home? Doesn't make sense, does it? Make heaven your home today. And I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray, as we offer up a prayer of conviction to follow Jesus anew. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we are bowed in your presence, we ask that you will search our hearts and see, Lord, if there's anything within us that is hindering our relationship with you. And just now, as all eyes are closed and as every head is bowed, we ask the Holy Spirit to move upon us. Your Holy Spirit, which convicts us of our sin. We pray that you will change this old body, this old vile body, as the Bible says, into something brand spanking new. For it's in that newness, Lord Jesus, when you come and live in our hearts, that we are transformed by your presence, by your Spirit, by your love, by your grace, by your forgiveness, by all those wonderful attributes of heaven. May we make that decision each day of our lives until that day that you come to take us home, whether it's at the second coming or whether it's in death. Help us to live that new life, the life more abundant. For what else is better than that? There's nothing better than that, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who loves us with that everlasting love. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.